Psalms 142 this morning. We want to begin reading in verse 1. Of course, this is a psalm of David. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Of course, here in Psalms 142, and verse 1 through 7, David is praying unto God. And of course, David was a believer in the Lord. He was a prophet of God and was to soon be the king of Israel. But when he wrote this psalm, he's hiding from Saul. He's fleeing from Saul, who was king at that time. And Saul was jealous of David and wanted to kill David, just like the rulers of Israel was jealous of Jesus and wanted to put him to death. But David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Amen. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. And when you're in any trouble, that's the thing to do is call upon the Lord. The Bible says that we're to look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. In verse 2, he said, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. And so David made his complaints unto God, not complaining about God, but telling God what his problems was, what kind of trouble that he was in. And then verse 3 said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. And he said, in the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. And so David got overwhelmed in his spirit here, but he knew that God knew his path. He knew that God knew where he was and what he was going through. And David looked unto the Lord to help him. He's reminding the Lord that they had privately or privily laid a snare for me. Amen. And of course, about he's talking about they're trying to capture him. They're trying to put him to death. They wanted to get people to tell on David where he was, and they did. Saul had informers that was always informing on David wherever he went to, and then Saul would pursue after him. He said in verse 4, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. They didn't want to have nothing to do with David. They was afraid of Saul. They was afraid that Saul would kill them or put them in prison or do something terrible to them, take away their property or whatever. But David said here that that no man would know me. They didn't want to have nothing to do with him. And refuge failed me. It didn't have no place to hide. He said, no man cared for my soul. They didn't care anything about me. They didn't love me enough to hide me or to keep their mouth shut so that I wouldn't be captured. Then there in verse 5 said, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. And so David trusted on God to hide him and to take care of him and deliver him from his enemy. In verse 6 he said, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. And of course Saul was stronger. He had a mightier army. David only had about 600 men at one time that followed him when he was fleeing from Saul. But Saul had thousands at his disposal, and he had a lot of ways tricking David and trapping David. And so David said here, attend to my cry. I am brought very low. And so I don't know about you, but I've been in a low state many times in my Christian life, as well as before I got saved. But I'm glad that God is able to deliver us out of our troubles and deliver us from our persecutors. And God is stronger than our enemies. And David realized that. He said, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. David felt like he was in prison, that he couldn't move about freely, you see, and do the things that God wanted him to do because of the oppression of the enemy. And so he said, that I may praise thy name, the righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Amen. And so David's hope was in the Lord. I want to go back in verse 4. Where he says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And I want to take the last phrase of verse 4 where it says, no man cared for my soul. And I wonder this morning, do we care for souls? Do we care about people? Do we care about the brothers and sisters in the Lord? Do we care about lost people? I was riding down the road yesterday or day before yesterday, and I was watching people cross the street and watching people walk down the sidewalk. And I began to think, and like I ought to think, amen. And I said, Lord, that person is probably going to burn in hell forever. And I watched people driving through the intersection. I said, that person's probably going to burn in hell forever. And that person's probably going to burn in hell forever. And boy, if we could really see people like God sees them, amen, we would look at people that way when we talk to people, when we confront people, and have any kind of relationship between people, amen, we should be concerned whether that person is going to die and go to hell, amen. We should be concerned about their soul. David said, no man cared for my soul. I want to preach on that subject this morning. Who cares if souls go to hell, amen? And of course, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You and I that are saved, we're going to heaven when we die. I got that blessed hope in my heart, amen. I know that it's going to be so because of the promises of God. And so this morning, I know that I've been born again, and heaven is my home. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. And my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so the Lord said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And so heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. But on the other hand, there's a place called hell. And hell is a prepared place for an unprepared people. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew 25 verse 41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I want you to notice that the curse, the devil and his angels are going to hell. Amen. They're going to a place of eternal fire where they're going to burn forever and ever, and that is a prepared place. Now, God didn't prepare hell for sinners. Amen. He didn't prepare hell for Adam's race. Let me put it that way. Amen. Amen. God did not prepare hell for any person in this room to go there. Amen. It wasn't God's will that any person perish and go to hell. Never has been, never will be. Amen. But God has prepared a place called hell, and those that are unprepared are going there where the devil and his angels are going. Amen. And they will burn forever and ever. The Bible says they're cursed. Amen. Now, who is cursed? Those who refuse the gospel, those who obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that God cares. Amen. God cares about souls, and we should be caring about souls if we're saved by his marvelous grace. If God cares about souls, you should be concerned as well. And of course, God cares. The Father cares, for he sent his Son, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that that the world through him might be saved. Now the Bible puts it in the phrase might be saved, amen. People might be saved, but a lot of folks won't be saved because they won't obey the gospel. But God so loved the world that he gave his son, and he proved that he cares for man's soul. He proved that by sending his only begotten son into this world and not sparing his own son, amen, but delivering him up for us all, the Bible said. And so, and not only that, but he announced his son's birth, and the Bible teaches us in the announcement of his birth, the birth of Jesus Christ, that God cares. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, then there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Those angels said, I got some good news for the world. God has sent his son into the world, and this is good news for all men everywhere. Amen. Amen. And there's a Savior, amen. In the city of David, there's a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He is born today. Amen. So the announcement of his birth says that God cares. Not only did God the Father send his son in the world and make that wonderful announcement to all men everywhere that there's a Savior born, amen, but he showed it on the cross, amen, that he cares. I'm talking about God the Father. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God the Father showed he cared when he made his son an offering for sin and made his son to become sin for us who knew no sin and turned his back on his only begotten son that he might receive us. Amen. God showed that he cared. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. God commendeth his love. God showed us his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Jesus Christ died for you nearly 2,000 years ago. Amen. But he died for you. Now what did he see when he was hanging on the cross? As God, he saw the future. As God, he saw every sinner. As God, he saw you, amen, being born, and he saw every sin that you would commit from the time you was born to the time you died, and he paid the sin debt for it. Amen. But God saw your sin before the foundation of the world. He saw your lost condition. He saw that you were standing in need of a Savior, and God proved his love by sending his son, making that wonderful announcement that all men everywhere can be saved, amen. And he showed it, he proved it by hanging his son on the cross and turning his back on his son, amen, breaking fellowship with his son when he became sin for us. God will never turn his back on you. God will receive you. But not only that, God, our long wait for Christ's return shows that God cares. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to us were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Now the long-sufferingness of God proves that God cares. God could have took the early church, amen, to heaven and brought his wrath down upon this earth, destroyed this earth hundreds and thousands of years ago. Amen. God could have destroyed the world and we'd have never been born, amen. Or he could have destroyed the earth before we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. Before we got saved, amen, we could have been left behind. But we wasn't left behind. God was long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God's long-sufferingness, our long await for Christ's return, shows that he cares. Why don't the Lord come today? He wants some more to get saved. Amen. He wants your loved ones to get saved. He wants your neighbors to get saved. He wants the drunk on the street and the harlot in the whorehouse to get saved. He wants the unbelievers to get saved. Amen. God wants people to get saved.
Amen.
And so he works in people's hearts and lives. He tells us to witness to them, and we're to carry the gospel to them, amen. And God's Holy Spirit will convict them of their sins. But it's up to them to respond and be obedient to the scripture. But God proves that he cares. He proves that he cares for the sparrows more for our souls than he cares for the sparrows. Notice what he said in Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore. You're of more value than many sparrows. Amen. God loves the little birds, and God takes care of the little birds, all of his creation. God takes care of them. But I'll tell you, God cares more about souls than he does sparrows. He cares more about people than he does dogs or cats or rats or hogs or anything else. Amen. Why? Because they don't have souls. They're not going to live forever, but man is somewhere.
Amen.
He's going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. And most of the world's going to spend eternity in hell if they don't get saved. Amen. But God proves that he cares. You can't accuse God the Father of not caring about people's souls.
Amen.
Amen. There's all kinds of scriptures I could give you. But not only God the Father cares, God the Son cares. He reaches out to sinners because he cares. In Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He said that the Lord Jesus made that statement that is accusing him of eating with publicans and sinners. And he said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
Who's lost? Everybody's lost till they get saved. Getting everybody lost till they get saved.
Amen.
Till they get found. You got to get lost before you can get found. Amen. You got to get lost before you can get saved. But everybody's lost.
Amen.
Till they get saved.
Yes, sir.
And so he reaches out to sinners because he cares. Luke 15:1. He said, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I'm glad that he does. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad he receiveth sinners. If he didn't receive sinners, boy, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we?
That's right, man.
Amen. But he'll even eat with us. Isn't that wonderful? Not only he receives us and eat with us, he saves us, forgives us our sins, and makes us children of God.
Amen. Glory to God.
And so he said, he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, go after that which is lost until he find it? When he hath found it, layeth on his shoulders, and he goes home rejoicing. Amen. Said, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep. Lord said, there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. The Lord is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd, and he's seeking sheep that are lost. Now, who's the sheep? That's those that's going to believe. Amen. He knows who's going to believe, who's not going to believe. But he cares about souls. He cares about people that's going to be saved. And he cares about people that's not going to be saved. You can't accuse God the Father not caring about lost people, or you can't accuse God's Son not caring about lost people. And as he was dying, he cared for an old sinner on the cross, did he not? There in Luke 23, verse 39 through 43, you remember that thief? There was two thieves. One of them was hanging on each side of the Lord Jesus, and all the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all that Sanhedrin crowd, they was standing around the cross, and they was a jeering and making fun, spitting on the Lord and cussed him out and all kinds of stuff, no doubt. And they were saying that, if he's Christ, let him come down now from the cross and we'll believe in him. They wouldn't have believed. He'd have stepped off the cross. While they saw his miracles and wonders and signs, they heard him preach, they still didn't believe. Amen. There's like the rich man that went to hell, amen. They wouldn't believe though one rose from the dead. Christ even resurrected from the dead, they still didn't believe in him. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that even when he was dying on the cross, those two thieves was hanging on each side of him, and those thieves was going along with the crowd for a little while, and then one of them thieves started realizing he's fixing to die, and he's fixing to spend eternity somewhere, amen? And he started thinking about who the Lord really was, amen? I'm sure he heard some things. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And but that old thief said, "Lord, remember me." He rebuked the other thief for reviling the Lord, and there on the cross. And he said, "We're getting what we deserve. This man's done nothing amiss." And he said, "Lord, remember me." And no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Spirit of God, the Bible said.
Amen.
Amen. But he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me at paradise." Amen. What did the Lord do? He forgave that old sinner. Say that old sinner on the cross. Do you know that old sinner on the cross? If he'd have got off that cross, you know what he would have done? He would have followed the Lord like those other disciples. He would have saw the resurrected Christ, and he'd have been in the church. He'd have went to church. He'd have paid his tithes. He'd have witnessed to other people. He'd have got baptized. Amen. But you know he didn't get to do none of that. He didn't get to join an independent Baptist church.
Amen.
He didn't pay one penny of tithes.
Amen.
He didn't get baptized.
Amen.
Amen. He didn't lead nobody to the Lord.
Amen.
But he got saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And I say that, he didn't do none of those things, but if he had got off, I guarantee he would have.
Amen.
Because saved people do such things.
Amen.
Now, the Son shows the cares by reaching out to sinners. He's come to seek and save that which was lost. He shows that he cares by saving the old sinner on the cross. And then by sending his disciples to tell others, he shows that he cares. In Matthew chapter 28 verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And so the Lord gave the church the commission. He gave his disciples commission and told them to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Those that believe will be saved. Those that don't believe will be damned. Amen. He told us to go into the world and preach the gospel. Why? Because he cares.
Amen.
He just wasn't giving us something to do. If he had just given us something to do, he said, "Go down to church house and paint the church house." Or, go to mow the grass or clean the commodes, amen. Or go to your neighbors and put him a fence up or something. No, he wasn't so much caring about the material things and the worldly things as he was men, women, boys, and girls' souls. Because it's only through preaching of the gospel that people get saved. And God's wants people to get saved. The Son wants people to get saved. That's why we have personal witnesses. You ought to be a personal witness for the Lord. You ought to witness to people. You ought to invite people to church, but you ought to witness to people. And by witnessing, I mean try to share your conversion experience with them. Give them some scriptures to know how to be saved. Amen? Every Christian should do that. Every Christian should have a personal testimony. And that you'll be able to share with somebody that's lost how that God convicted you of your sins, how that you realized that you were lost, and you asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you, and he changed your life and gave you hope, amen, and put joy down in your heart and gave you peace in your heart, amen, and you're a new creature in Christ now, and you love the Lord, and you love to go to church, and you love to sing the songs of Zion, you love to read your Bible and pray, and boy, you just love the Lord. You ought to have a testimony.
Amen.
Amen. And then just share some scriptures. Somebody help them realize that they can be saved. Like John 3:16, God so loved the world. God loves you, and God wants to save you. Amen. He sent his Son to die for you, and you can be saved. We all ought to be a personal witness for the Lord. And then God's Holy Spirit, he proves that he cares. God the Father cares, God the Son cares, and God the Holy Spirit cares. Cares for what? Cares for souls. Amen. Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and indwelt, what was it, 3,000 people. Indwelt those 120 in the upper room first, amen, and filled them with himself, amen, and they went out into the streets of Jerusalem filled with the Holy Spirit of God and began to preach and witness for the Lord. 3,000 people got saved. And so he came on the day of Pentecost. He empowered the believers to be a witness. He birthed 3,000 into the family of God in that one day and still speaking through the believers, amen, to reach the lost. Does the Spirit of God ever impress upon your heart to witness somebody?
Amen.
Does the Spirit of God ever convict you about not witnessing somebody?
Amen.
He does me. Right. Amen. I've missed some good opportunities in my life. I've taken some good opportunities, amen, and witnessed to quite a few folks, but I've missed a lot of opportunities. And boy, the Holy Spirit always let me know about it.
Right. Amen.
Amen. He never let me get by.
Amen.
And usually when he lets me know about it big time, it's because that person really needed the witness.
Amen.
At that time. I've got some things on my conscience I wished I could get off, but I can't get them off.
Amen.
There's some people dead probably in hell right now, and I didn't witness to them when I should have.
Amen.
You say, you're a sorry preacher. I sure am, amen. But how many opportunities have you missed? Amen. I'm just saying God's Holy Spirit cares about souls. And he'll give you opportunities to be a witness for him, for the Lord, amen, and point men, women, boys, and girls to Jesus Christ. And when you don't do what he tells you to do, he'll let you know about it. Why? Because he cares for that soul. And he don't want that soul to die and go to hell. He convicts men of their sin. He still reveals Christ to repentant hearts. Amen. If a person is willing to repent of their sins, he'll show them Jesus Christ and the remedy for their sin and their lost condition. He regenerates those who trust in Christ. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God's Holy Spirit will make you a soul winner if you'll let him.
Amen.
And by being a soul winner, I'm talking about you being a personal witness for the Lord. You don't have to win 5,000 people to the Lord, be a soul winner.
Amen.
In fact, you may never personally win nobody to God.
Amen.
Let me say this, amen. I'm not against winning souls, amen. I think we ought to be soul winners. But you may never in your lifetime personally lead anybody to Christ.
Amen.
But you can be instrumental in their salvation.
Amen.
You can witness to them. You can sow the good seed of the Word of God. You can weep over them and pray for them. And maybe some other soul winner go by and lead them to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you have a part in that, don't you?
That's right.
Paul said, who is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe. He said, I planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that soweth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase.
Amen.
We're all laborers together with God, are we not? We're God's husbandry. We're God's building. And if you send a missionary across the ocean somewhere or to another state somewhere to preach the gospel and you pray for them and you give your money to keep them on the field, amen, they lead somebody to the Lord, you enter into that reward.
Amen.
But you need to be a personal witness too.
That's right.
Amen. Witness in your Jerusalem, amen.
Amen.
Be a witness in your Jerusalem. And then go into Samaria and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. And the only way we can do that is through sending missionaries.
Amen.
Amen. I can't afford to go into all the world. But these missionaries can. The ones that God calls and God sends out and God lays on our heart to help, amen. We can help them financially and prayerfully. And we take part of that ministry. And so the Holy Spirit cares. Heaven cares. Luke 15:10 again says, likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. It causes heaven to go up and shout and rejoice, amen, when one sinner gets saved. Now he just said a sinner. He didn't say what kind of sinner. He just said a sinner. We're all sinners, aren't we?
Amen.
We're all lost. We're all undone. We're all under the wrath of God. We're all children of wrath, even as others. Amen. But when one sinner gets saved, all of heaven rejoices.
Amen.
Who's in heaven? Amen. The saints are in heaven now, aren't they? Jesus Christ is in heaven. God the Father is in heaven. Amen. All them holy angels and the saints of God that's gone on before us. Amen. When an old sinner gets saved by the grace of God, I guarantee you the Lord Jesus rejoices. I guarantee God the Father is rejoicing. I guarantee God the Holy Ghost is rejoicing. And all those saints are in heaven are rejoicing. I don't know what the angels are doing. They're probably standing around trying to figure out what all the excitement's about. Amen. They've never been saved, have they? They had no need of getting saved. I'm talking about the ones still in heaven, ones still serving God. They'd no redemptive plan for fallen angels. Those are still in heaven, not fallen. So they're sinless. Amen. But they've never been saved. They don't know what it feels like to be saved. They don't know the grace of God. So they really can't rejoice too much when an old sinner gets saved. But them old sinners that are already in glory with the Lord, when a loved one or a friend or a neighbor or just any old sinner gets saved, they rejoice about it. Does it rejoice your heart when you hear of somebody getting born again?
Amen.
I can hear of a total stranger getting saved and it blesses my heart. I was weeping tears on the phone this morning talking to a woman up in Eager. Amen. She was telling me about her son getting saved in prison. I just weeping. Why? Because an old sinner got saved by the grace of God. I don't know him from that. I've never seen him in my life. Don't know. He don't even know why he's in prison for. He evidently done something pretty bad because he's been in there a good while. But he got saved by the grace of God.
Praise the Lord.
And we ought to rejoice. Heaven cares about souls. Hell cares about souls. In Luke chapter 16, I guarantee you, hell cares more about sinners than we do. Amen. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, Luke 16:19, of course we have the story. It's not a parable, amen. It's a true story of the rich man and Lazarus, amen. There in verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. They got the Bible. Amen. Let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.
Amen.
Amen. But I want to tell you, the rich man in hell was concerned about his brothers coming to hell.
Amen.
He had five brothers and he didn't want them to die lost and come to hell where he was.
Right.
There's nobody in hell wants a sinner to come there.
Right.
Nobody in hell wants anybody else to come there. Amen. Now the devil wants to send, the devil hadn't been in hell yet, but he's a going, amen. He hadn't been in the lake of fire yet, but he's a going, amen. The devil's going to be kicked off in the lake of fire one day, and he's trying to take everybody with him that he can, but he's not been there yet.
Amen.
Amen. He don't know what it feels like. He don't know the torments of hell yet, but he shall. Amen.
Amen.
He shall know what the flames of hell feel like. But those people that are suffering in the flames of hell this morning don't want no sinner to come there. They want people to repent and get saved by the grace of God, so they won't come there. That man wanted his brothers to repent. He wanted somebody to testify to them and said they will repent. They'll turn from their sins. They'll turn to Christ and they'll get saved. If they won't hear the gospel, if they won't hear the Bible, they won't.
That's right.
Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You don't get saved by seeing miracles happen, by seeing people resurrected from the dead, amen, coming back from hell and smelling the smoke of hell on them, amen, and hearing terrible stories and things like that, amen. People get saved by believing the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. In other words, lest any man should boast. And so, hell cares. If you go to hell, you'll be trespassing. They don't want you there. Amen? Nobody in hell wants you there. Nobody's partying in hell.
Amen.
Nobody's playing around in hell.
Amen.
Nobody's enjoying hell.
Amen.
Amen? They are suffering in hell.
Amen.
And they shall suffer forever and ever and ever. There's no relief in hell. There's no drops of water in hell. There's no escaping of hell. Never shall be. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool." God wants people to come and reason with Him. God wants people to repent their sin and trust Him as their Lord and Savior. I've made the statement many times, and I've heard it myself many times, that you cannot carry the gospel the wrong address.
Right.
Amen? You carry the gospel, don't matter where you carry it, in the world, the gospel will do the same thing. Amen? It'll save sinners that will believe.
Amen.
Don't matter who they are and where they're at or what they've done. What status of life they're in, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew and also the Greek. And lastly, I'd like to say that the church should care about souls.
Amen.
Revelation 22:17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." I'm glad that I can stand in God's house this morning and say that the bride says, Come. Amen. If an old sinner walked into this building and I preached the gospel to them, I can say, Christ said, Come. Amen. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Amen. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. I can give the invitation without having to apologize.
Amen.
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 Why? Because God told me to invite people to come. The Spirit and the bride say, Come.
Amen.
Amen. And the bride is the church. Amen. And the church has a right to tell sinners to come to Christ.
Amen.
And get forgiven, get saved by the grace of God. And escape the wrath to come. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Come to Jesus. Amen. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Because it is the power of God.
That's right.
Salvation to everyone that believeth. Let's stand together this morning. Now let's musician come. And we'll have an invitation song this morning. Are you saved this morning? If you are saved, do you care about other people's salvation? Do you want to see people get saved? Amen. If we're not caring for people's souls, we need to get a heart straightened out. Amen. We need to have our heart fixed.
Amen.
Amen. Page 395, if I'm not mistaken. No. I'm going to sing, There Is a Fountain. Page 392. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you again for allowing us to be in your house this morning. Please, Father, I pray that you'd lay a burden upon our heart to be a witness for thee. Help us, Lord, to care about people's souls. Help us, Lord, to see every man clearly And Lord, help us to be concerned about where they're going to spend eternity, especially those that we live around, those that we love, those that we are kin to, those of our friends. Father, we realize and know that's unsaved. I pray, Father, that you'd help us, Lord, to try to find some way, Lord, to share the gospel with them. And Father, please use us in your service, Father, that we might see souls saved for the glory of God. And Father, I pray now that you'd speak to every heart in the service. Somebody needs to come be saved. I pray that they'd step out this morning and come, Father, and receive Christ as their personal Savior. If there's a Christian that needs to come pray about anything, I pray that they'd do so this morning. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a verse or two of There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood. If you need to pray this morning, you obey the Lord. Amen. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood.